Today's shiur begins at the top of Chof Hei Omed Aleph in Maseches Bava Basra. We're going to be continuing with discussions concerning distancing from cities. In previous discussions, we saw distancing of trees, distancing of granaries. We now continue with a new list of distancing. Marchikin es hanavelos, ves hakvoros, ves habursiki minoir, chamishim amo. The note we had made on the side introducing this sugya was harchokas reach ra minoir, keep things that produce foul odors from the city. In this list we see dead animals, graves, and tanneries. Ein osin burski elo lemizroch ha'ir. A bursiki, a tannery, is to be made or to be established only to the east of the city, because the east wind is generally speaking a wind that blows without force. It's a calm wind, thereby not bringing the foul odor into town. Rabbi Kiva Omer, l'chol ruach hu oise, chutz mima'arova, umarchik chamishim amo. Rabbi Akiva's comment is a bit unclear. He says that you can set up the bursiki in all directions, except, and he says, except for the west. And then he adds, keeping a distance of 50 amma. The Gemara will have to clarify, does that mean that you can make it in the west if you have 50 ammas of distance? Or, when it says chutz mi ma'arova, ma'arova is out of the question. Continuing in the Mishnah, u'marchikin es ha'mashre min ha'yerek, v'yasakreshim min ha'psolim, v'yasacharu min ha'dvorim. This section of the Mishnah should be familiar to those of us who have been learning the Masechta from the beginning, or from an earlier point. As you can see, this was cited on Daf Yud Ches at length. Hence, the Gemara is not going to be preoccupied in discussing this section to any great length. The Mishnah is telling us to keep the flax soaking station away from the neighbor's vegetation, to keep the creation from betzolim, two forms of vegetation, one damaging the next. The chardol, often translated as mustard plants, keep them away from the bees, the neighbor's bees. And Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, has an allowance in the case of the chardol, where the Tanakhama viewed the chardol as a mazik. Rabbi Yossi has a different approach. The Gemara that we're about to do is introduced by our note on the side, where we note under the Nosei heading, Birur, Mahu Shitas Rabbi Akiva. At this point, we're going to try to clarify what's the understanding, what's the correct interpretation of Rabbi Akiva's comment. The Gemara raises a long question. The Sheila, Shin, with the vertical dashed line, indicates the length of the inquiry. Ibayaloho, Rabbi Akiva, Hechi Ka'omar. How are we to understand his comment? Notice you have an A. A few lines later, when you see an A, you should always look for the Aleph in this case. Look for the Beis. It's Aleph O Dilma Beis. You can see it in the structure of the Gemara. It means two possibilities, two sides of the question. So the Aleph side says, L'chol ruachu oise v'soymech. Does Rabbi Akiva mean to convey the following, that you can set up a burski any side of the city and put it immediately up against the city border without distancing? That's v'somech. Chutz mima'arova, with the exception of the western side, the marchik chamishim amav oise. You can put it on the western side, provided you keep a distance of 50 amas. O Dilma, l'chol ruachu oise. Maybe Rabbi Kiva is saying that you can set a burski at any side, to any side of the city, provided umarchi chamishim amo, provided you maintain a distance of 50 amas, chutz mima'arova deino oise klal. With the exception of the western side of town, the west side, where you're not allowed to make it at all. Those are the two possibilities of understanding Rabbi Akiva. So in order to answer the question, the Gemara continues, Toshma Desanya. We bring a source here, and the marking edition, in your marking edition of Gemara, you'll notice that the liberty was taken to note which side of the question is to be is being accepted. And that's what's noted above the sign with Kamo base. We're going to be taking the second side of the two possibilities. What does the source say? The sign Rabbi Kiva Omer, L'chol ruachu oise, Umarchik chamishim amo, Chutz mimarovo deino oise kol ikr. With the exception of the western side, we're not allowed to make a Bursky at all. That's like you saw in the second, in the Bays, in the Odilma Bays suggestion. Why? Mipnei shehi tadira. That's the end of the source. Just another detail, and we had not underlined Rabbi Kiva's name at the beginning of the source because we were trying to resolve his shita, and we wanted to emphasize that this source is authored by him. Hence, we have that dashed underline under Rabbi Kiva at the beginning. The Gemara used an expression concerning the western side, the west, the wind blowing out of the west, is tadira. Amale rova le Rav Nachman. Here we have a long question, and that's noted on the side of your Gemara between the Gemara and the Tosis with the shin she'ela, and it lasts a few lines. My tadira. What's the intent of that expression? And you notice the double underline. Double underlining in the Shas Ozer pre-Mark Gemara edition represents, as do all the geometric forms, a series marking. In this case, we have the note on the outside margin under the Mivneh. The double underline appears, says Shlavim, stages. That's what our intent of series, we're a series of stages, but Birur, to clarify, Mahu, what is the meaning of tadira? Or what is meant by chutz mimarova bnei shehi tadira? Emphasis on that word, tadira. So when, as we look back in the Gemara, you notice the e-lema is double underlined, and as you scan down a few more lines, you'll notice again, ela. That'll be the second and final stage of this particular analysis. The Gemara continues, my tadira, e-lema, tadira baruchos, that the west wind blows more regularly, more constant. It's more constant than other winds. That it's the constant blowing wind. The ho amarav chanan barabo amarav har baruchos minashvois b'chol yoim v'ruach tzvoinis im kulan. That in the course of a day, winds blow from all directions. However, the north wind accompanies all of them. So whenever any given wind is blowing, there's always some representation of the north wind. She'ilmole kein, if that would not be, ein ho'ilam miskayim afilu sho'achas, the world would not continue existing even a moment. In other words, the role of the north wind is to help preserve the maintenance of the world. The ruach droimis koshem ikulan. The southern wind is considered the harshest of the winds. The ilmole ben netz shema'amida, if not for this malach, this angel that has the form of a netz creature, that ma'amida, the Gemara said, that withholds or restrains the southern wind, machreves es ha'olam, the world would be destroyed. Shenemar, ha mibinoscha yaver netz yefrois knofov l'teimon. So this pasuk mentions netz, which we said is a reference to this malach, the ben netz, that spreads his wings l'teimon to the south. So what is the meaning in our source of the ma'arova, the western wind being tadira? We've just ruled out the idea of constancy. That's assigned to the north wind. Elomai tadira. What's tadira of the ma'arova? Tadira b'shchina. That's the place that the shchina is located. constant with Shechina. And as a result of that, you don't want to have a bursiki, which is has a foul odor placed on that side. The Gemara continues, and we note a geometric form, a triangle in this case, that denotes some type of recurring theme or series. And in order to understand what the triangle's role will be, we'll take a look at the note on the side where a triangle appears. De'ois be'efoy mokoim hashchina. Different opinions as to where the divine presence is concentrated. Legabi kivun haroi litfila. This in the context of in which direction should one face when he is davening. Many of us who are learning the Gemara might have certain preconceived notions about which direction to face during davening. We're going to see later, Mirtz Hashem, in the Tosfos, that these preconceived notions are based on a particular shita that might have been adopted, lahalocha, might have been the accepted way to do things. However, that doesn't preclude the presence of other opinions. I remember a shul that the direction that people were facing was in fact the opposite direction of what the common practice is. So even though one might say that true, there was might have been a problem in that particular shul, that's as far as what the accepted common practice is. However, to say there was no justification whatsoever in halachic literature, in Torah literature for that, that would not be accurate, because we're going to find that in that particular shul that I'm referring to, the congregation was facing west, when in that location, in that particular community, in that particular country, the proper direction to have faced would have been east. That having been said, we'll take a look at the Gemara to expose ourselves and broaden our horizons, if you will, regarding the direction of tefillah. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Bo v'nachzik toiv l'avoseinu, let us express our gratitude to our forefathers, shehodi'unu mokoim tefillah, that showed us, that informed us of where one should face when he's davening. Dechtiv. Utzvo hashomayim lecho mishtachavim. There's a given in the pasuk, and the given is that tzvo hashomayim, the heavenly forces, the sun, the moon, the other bodies, their location is called in the east. Could be sun and moon. They rise in the east. The sun particularly. And they're described as bowing l'cho mishtachavim. So if they're located in the east and they're bowing, so which direction are they facing? They're facing west. So it must be that the Shechina is in the west. Maskif lo rav acho bar yankiv v'dilma. Maybe from this pasuk we can suggest something else. Ke'eved shenoytel pras meraboy v'choizer la'achoyra v'mishtachaveh. It could be that they are in the east. That's a given, that they're in the east. And the master, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in this case, the Shechina, is also in the east. And their bowing is the bowing of a servant having received a reward from his master. And the nature of that bowing is you start off close to where the master is and then walk backwards in continually bowing out of gratitude. So if you accept this possibility, then if they are in the east and they're bowing, they're in the east bowing, but next to the master being the Shechina, so the Shechina would be in the east. Kashya, right? Rav Acha successfully raised a matter of doubt in our minds as to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's approach. In other words, citing this pasuk, Utzva Shemayim, as a proof that the Shechina is in the west, we can we can suggest an alternative. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Hoshaya Sovar. Shechina b'chol makom. Before we continue, we notice a new marking that just came upon us, namely this double underline with the dots in it. This draws our attention to other such markings. What do you notice as you scan the page, finding the similar marking? Of course, you notice it appears three times in total, each time a similar shita being referred to, namely Shechina b'chol makom. So with our marking system, what we're able to do is we can focus on two sets at one time. We see the triangles. They are shittas regarding direction to face during davening. Within that list, you find shittas holding that the Shechina is located all over. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rav Hoshaya Sovar Shechina b'chol makom. The Yomer of Hoshaya, my dichtiv, ato hu Hashem levadecha, ato asiso es hashamayim v'chulei. Let's take a look at Rashi. Ato hu Hashem levadecha, approximately halfway down, a little less than halfway down the Omid. Bosor utzvo hashamayim ksiv. This posuk appears after the posuk we had seen just a few lines up. Regarding the shlichus service, the execution of tasks, messengers that carry out their instructions, the prosecutor is praising. Atahu levadecho b'midazu. You are alone in the following trait which we are about to discuss. So far, what idea is developing? We have the master, in this case the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Shechina, and he has heavenly forces that carry out his will. They're the Tzvo HaShemayim. They carry out his will. The Gemara goes on to describe Shluchecha, your emissaries, lo kishluchei boser b'dom, are not like the emissaries of man. Shluchei boser v'dom, mimokoim shemishtalchim l'shom machzirin shlichuson. From the point that they are sent out, they return to that point of origin in order to inform the sender that they completed their task. Avol shluchecha, your emissaries, lemokoim shemishtalchin, to the place they're sent, shom machzirin shlichusan, in that very spot, their destination, wherever their destination may be, at that point, at their point of destination, they are able to inform their sender that they completed their task. Their sender, being the Shechina, is located at every point of their destination, namely Shechina b'chol makom. Shenemar, hasishalach brokim v'yelechu v'yomru l'cho hinenu. That's the posuk, and the understanding is as follows. As the Gemara says, yovou v'yomru lo ne'emar. This posuk describes the brokim that were sent out. The lightning, if you will, whatever the translation of Brokim is, we know that Brokim are one of the messengers. They're sent out. And the Pasuk says they go, Vayelechu, Vayomru Lecha, and they tell us, here we are. The Gemara is Medayik in the Lashon. It does not say, Yovo'u Vayomru. They go, come back, and say. Elo vayelchu, they go, vayomru, and say. Right? They go, and they go to their destination, and they're able to say, here we are. Melamed shashchina b'chol mochim. Showing us that the Shechina is there where they were sent to. They don't have to come back to any point because the sender is all over. V'afra b'shmuel sovar shechina b'chol mokoyim. The Tana debay Rabbi Shmuel. The source begins, minayin sheshchina b'chol mokoyim, shenemar, hinei ha-malach ha-dover bi, yotzei, u-malach acher, yotzei, likrosoi. The Novi is experiencing a vision, and there's a malach came forth, and another malach comes to greet him, comes facing him, comes from the opposite direction. So I've described here a malach coming from one side, and another malach coming from the opposite side, coming towards this one. Achrav lo ne'emar. It doesn't say coming after him, that there was the first malach came forth and then a second malach came on his heels, came following him. Elo likroso. He came greeting him, came toward him, coming from the opposite direction toward him. Lamed, who's sending these malachim? The Shechina. So he says, Lamed she Shechina b'chol mokoyim. V'yaf Rav Sheshes sovar, Shechina b'chol mokoyim. The Omar le Rav Sheshes l'shamei. Rav Sheshes was a blind individual. He told his servant, the person who was walking along with him, l'chol ruchsa ukman, when davening time came, stand me, in other words, we'll stop together and position me toward any direction. Labar mi mizrach, falav mishum deles be shechina. He says, to all directions with the exception of the east, not because there is no shechina in the east, ela mishum de moru ba mini. Because the minim, the non-believers, the Rashi calls them tamidei ovdei avodah zarah, they used to instruct their adherents to face east, so as to show our opposition, face any direction except for east. Rabbi Avo Omar. Rabbi Avo is another shita in the realm of directions of davening, but he's not one that suggests Shechina b'chol mokom, hence there's no more double underline with dots in it. But he is part of the series of triangles of shitas describing directions to daven. He says, Shechina b'marov, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Tiyama Rabbi Avo, my Uriah. What is the meaning of that expression? Avir ka. So far, I don't see anything about west over here. So Rashi has two lashonos. We could take a look at Rashi. Uriah, about a quarter of the way up from the bottom, he says, Ani shamati kach korin lema'arov b'loshan parsi. That the word Uriah in the Parsi language is west. Rashi has another pshat. He says, "Veli nire shikach kuren lemizrach beloshon laz v'hainu dekoma avir ka shehashchina b'marav uponov lemizrach." The Shechina is in the west, so we're maintaining that pshat in the west. Uponov lemizrach nimtzeis hamizrach aviro. It's like the mizrach is the airspace of the west. The Tosfos here in the middle of the page says Uriah loshon shapir shakuntris to Uriah marov near el rabbeinu tam ularach iker. So the Balei Tosfos prefer the first loshon of Rashi. So when the Gemara said Uriah is Avir Ka, so you'll ask yourself, what's Avir? Avir of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Which direction is that? So we note that the word Uriah in Persian means west. So it must mean that west is Avir Ka. Before we continue in the Gemara, there are a couple points that the Tosfos brings out that we would like to see. The Tosfos, we're going to be going out of order. We're going to first learn the Tosfos Lechol Ruchasa Ukman. Kol Hani Amoroi. The opinions that we find in our Sukya, we saw Deos here saying face any direction. We saw Deos face west. all of these opinions, les luha de sanya bebrochois, shechayev adam lispalel neged Yerushalayim, mishum dichtiv. And the Gemara there in Brochus cites a pasuk, vispalu eilecho derech artzam. So the dais we saw here do not hold from that, that say face Jerusalem. Elo savri k'rab Yishmael diomar shchina b'chol mokoyim. The deos that we see here, the Amoroyim that we see here, base themselves on Rabbi Yishmael, who says that the Shechina is b'chol mokoyim. Uman de'omar Shechina b'marov, he who takes that opinion, Sovar k'Rabbi Akiva, de'omar v'tnei shehi tedira. And we saw Rabbi Akiva as well in a source above. Rabbi Chanina de'shmaitin de'omar Kegoin atun di yasfun litzvoino di aro di Yisrael adrimu. We haven't seen him yet, but he appears in our sugya that he says to those of you in Bovel who are to the north of Eretz Yisrael, face Eretz Yisrael toward the south. In other words, the goal being face Eretz Yisrael. Savar lo kebraisa de brachas. So he, Rabbi Chanina, holds like the braisa in brachas. So even though many of us have been exposed to what's called an accepted practice. That's called halacha lemaisa. But when learning Torah, when learning the Shas, one realizes that the halacha lemaisa is accepting only one opinion of a variety of opinions that exist on the particular topic. Continuing in the Gemara, we're going to find that the next few lines are dedicated to darshaning a posuk, and that's the note we have on the side. The Nosei and Mivneh, this form will appear. Droshes HaPosuk, Yarov Kamotor Likhi, V'chulei. Posuk found in Parshas HaZino in Sefer Dvorim. Bekesher L'dalid Ruchos Olam. The drosh of this posuk will be associated with the four different directions in the world. And that's the volcano marking you can see. Emphasizes the four directions. You can see that Ma'arovis, Tzvoinis, Mizrochis, Droimis. Taking a look at the Gemara. Amar of Yehuda, Mai Dichtiv, Ya'aroif Kamator Likhi, Zu Ruach Ma'arovis, Shebo Me'orpoi Shel Oilom. Let's take a look at the Rashi to assist in commentary. A few lines up from here. Ya'aroif Kamator Likhi, Moshe Rabbeinu Dimo Es HaToro Li'arba Ruchis, Kishem she evshur belohem, just like the world could not exist without the winds coming from the four directions, kach I evshur le'olam beloi Torah. This idea we actually expressed a little while ago when talking about the issue of taxation of Talmidei Chachamim, how there's a different standard that we apply to Talmidei Chachamim, and one shouldn't think that it's some kind of favoritism or partisanship or whatever else you want. Rather, one has to recognize that Talmidei Chachamim are the ones that enable the world to exist. Without them, we can close down shop. We mentioned the drosha in a previous shir, Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker, Yom HaShishi, a reference to the Kabbalah Soterah on Shavuos. Without that, the world would go back to Tohu Vavohu, TV for short. Tizal Katal Imrosi. Pusik goes on and says that regarding the Torah descriptions. Zu Ruach Tzfoinis. This is a reference to the northern wind. What's the characteristic of the northern wind? Shemazeles es hazohov. It cheapens gold. How does that operate? So Rashi explains that this wind, this northern wind, heats up the world and brings drought. And when drought comes, people would be willing to use a lot of gold to buy a little bit of food. So the value of gold, it loses its meaning. In other words, gold loses its value when you have a situation of drought, when you see other things gaining much more value. Before we go further, let us explain a line that we didn't explain, namely the line before, and we'll do that through the Rashi. Me'orpo shel olam. This was in description of the Ruach Ma'arovis. It came me'orpo shel olam. Rashi says, there's two pshatim. One, ani shamati mechozkoi shel olam. Al shem shashchino b'marov. That orpo refers to from the strength of the world, but that would be in accordance with the shita that held that the shchina was b'ma'arov, that the divine presence is there. Vani omer, my opinion, Rashi says, me'achorov shel olam, from the back of the world. Oref, referring to back. We have the word oref appearing in numerous other examples. You have by Malika of a korban oif. It's done me'orpo, from the back of its head. You have the arifas eglo arufa. The word oref applies there, where the chopping of the head is done from the back of its neck. Here also, orpo, from the back of the world. Shamarov korui ochor. Shinemar, hein kedem eheloich, v'einenu. The word kedem refers to east. V'ochor v'lo avin. So in contrast to front, the word kedem, which refers to east, ochor is the back. So it refers to the west. Okay, let's go back into the Gemara. Reading again, we said that Tizal Katalim Rossi, Zu Ruach Tzvoinis, Shemazelis, Esazov, we explained that it causes drought, and as a result of that, gold loses its value. V'chein hu oimer, and likewise, it says regarding gold, not regarding droughts, but regarding gold and the term zol, in the context of gold, it says, hazolim zohov mikis. So you see the word zol used in the context of zohov. The pasuk continues, kisirim alei deshe, zu ruach mizrachis, shemas'iris es kol ha'olam kisa'ir. The word sa'ir means shade. A shade is a type of spiritual or semi-spiritual figure that causes upheavals, we'll say. That's mas'iris es kol ha'olam. Let's take a look at the Tosfos at the end of the Tosfos column. Ruach Mizrachis Shemas Eres Kol Ha'olam Kulo. Ha De Mashma B'Mas Nisen Shei Noicha Mikol Haruchos. One could have gained the impression that the east wind is the most pleasant of the ruchos. Hainu Kishi Bo Kedarka. That's when it blows pleasantly, normally. When it's blowing for the sake of retribution, he mas'iris, it causes upheaval. Kedepirush b'kuntrus b'masnisin, as Rashi on his Mishnah commentary already explained. And that you can see in the Rashi on the upper part of the page, when it mentioned that all the foul-smelling things can be placed on the eastern side of town. In other words, all sides no, but the eastern side yes. Rashi there says, "She'ein haruach mizrachis koshe todir elohim kein ba'al puronus aval kedarka hi chamo min hashevis benachas dechtiv ruach kodim tarchis chareshis v'soch hashemesh chareshis meaning silent lefikach eino mevia haruach lir, because of its calmness, it doesn't bring the foul odor to the city. So Rashi there and Tosfos over here are in agreement that the Ruach Mizrachis is a pleasant wind unless it comes with force. And when it comes with force, it's like the Se'irim, like the Shadim. Continuing in the Gemara, Uchi Revivim Alei Esev. Revivim has to do with water, with rain. Zu ruach droimis, she'i mala revivim umegadeles asovim. That the southern wind brings forth the rains and helps crops grow. Tanya, this point we're about to begin a Tanaic source, and I must offer a disclaimer and apology that the depth of the accurate explanation of this source, even on a superficial level, is a bit elusive. And that will take us down the first part of Omid Beis. It appears that this source has references to things that have a very deep spiritual, mystical nature, but I'm saying that even on a superficial nature, it appears to be a bit elusive, but we will try our best. Tanya, Rebbe Elazar Oimer, Oilom la'achsadra hu doime. We notice a diamond form indicating something of a repetitive nature, drawing our attention to an appearance of another one. We see later the term kuba is mentioned. Let us take a look at the note on the side, the heading of the sugya and the mivneh. There's shtei deos b'ma ha'olam doime. When we want to describe the construction of the world, when referring here to the world, we're not referring to merely the globe, to planet Earth, but we're going to be referring to Earth and the sun and the general area as affects us. There are two opinions in this source, one saying that it appears that its structure is compared to an achsadra. An achsadra is a structure that's closed on three sides, has a fourth side that's open. A kuba, in contrast, is something that's closed on all four sides. So the Gemara continues, the source continues. The first opinion, namely Rabbi Elazar's opinion, that the world is like an achsadra, namely, it doesn't have a fourth side. The ruach tzvoinis eino misoveves. That means the fourth side, the tzvoinis side, the northern side, is not closed with a mechitza. It's open. The kevon shigia chamo etzel keren ma'arovis tzvoinis, when the sun reaches the northwestern corner, nichfefes v'oilo lamalo min arakia, it bends over, it veers over above the rakia. The rakia being a description of something that's sky related, heaven related, but once again, we must leave our minds open to the spiritual realm as well. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Oilam Lekuba Hu Doime. The world is compared to an enclosed structure. Veruach Tzvoinis Misuveves. And the northern side is closed with a mechitza, is closed as well. Vekevon Shechamo Magas Lekeren Marovis Tzvoinis. And when the sun reaches the northwestern corner, similar situation as was mentioned on the second line from the top, when the sun gets to that point, Makefes v'chozeres achorei kipa. It goes, it moves and surrounds and returns from in back of the kipa. Shenema hoylich el dorom v'soyvev el tzofon v'chulei. We notice a colon here because at this point the Tanaic source is going to explain this pasuk phrase by phrase, and that's what the underlinings represent as you go along, the first set of underlinings. Hoylech el dorom bayom. In other words, the sun moves in a southerly direction, rising in the east, moving in a southerly direction by day. V'soyviv el tzofon, and it makes a turn in a northerly direction, that's balayla. Soyvev soyvev hoylech haruach v'al svivoysav shav haruach. Elu p'nei mizrach u'p'nei ma'arav. This refers to the eastern and the western directions. Shepa'omim misavavosan u'pa'omim mahalachosan. Sometimes it goes around them and sometimes it travels through them, depending on the season. Hu hoya oimer ason l'Rebbe Eliezer. The speaker up till this point would have been Rabbi Yeshua, so it could very well be that the hu hoya oimer that Rabbi Yeshua acknowledges Shitas Rabbi Eliezer in the following. He says that the following would seem to support his approach, that the world is like an achsadra, open on one side, on the northern side. What does the pasuk say that has this suggestion? Min hacheder tavo sufa, zu ruach droimis. Umimzorim kora, zu ruach tzfoinis. Let's take a look at Rashi. Umimzorim kora, a few lines down from here, and the Rashi says, zu ruach tzfoinis. Shahadoifen, that side, muzeres uprutza, is open. So the term mimzorim, muzeres, is muzeres in another context means something that's ruined. In this case, we're taking it smashed open. It's not enclosed, it's open. So as such, then, that this drosha is saying that the open side is the tzvoinis. That is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer's approach. Minishmas kel yitain kerach ze ruach marovis v'rochov mayim b'mutzak zu ruach mizrachis. The end of this source indicating that the mizrachis side, the mizrachis wind, is associated with water. The Gemara asks, but we've stated previously that ruach droimis male revivim umegadeles asovim. You could take advantage of the wonderful markings that you have in front of you, noticing the arrow pointing to Omid Aleph, with which you can quickly reference where this was stated, right there at the bottom of the Omid. We noticed that the ruach droimis was in charge of the rains. How do you resolve that with this that suggests that the Mizrachis is associated with water? Lo kashya. Ha de asyob mitra benichusa, ha beshvichusa. Both directions are associated with water. However, it depends with what quality the water comes. If it comes benichusa, comes pleasantly, then it's coming from the south. If, however, it comes with force, b'shvichusa, then it's coming from the east. Amar Rav Chisda, my dichtiv, mitzafon zohav ye'eseh. What is that posuk referring to? Zu ruach tzfoinis, shemazeles es hazohav. This is a reference to the northern wind, which causes the gold to lose value, to be considered cheap. This we've seen before as well, and you can note, taking advantage of the asterisk in the margin here, indicating to look at Omen Aleph, and once again, you find four lines from the bottom, a parallel asterisk, where this comment was made with Zu Ruach Tzfoinis Shemazeles Es Hazohav. And it was there that Rashi offered his commentary. An hour Gemara over here, you're not going to find Rashi explaining. He already did it. Continuing, v'cheinu omer, and likewise, you have another pasuk that associates the word zol with zahav. Hazolim zahav mikis. This similar construction we saw in the Gemara that we just referenced to on Omer Aleph. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice new markings. We have here a double underline. And we glance to the outside margin where we have our mivneh, our marking key. The double underline, Rafram bar Popa, Omar Rav Chisda. You notice that appearing twice as we go on in the Gemara. However, we also have another marking we will see immediately, namely this broken line, underlining. The note on the side says, Miyom Shechorav Beis HaMikdash, these Shnei Memros, two comments, Be'inyan Geshomim. two comments regarding rains from the dealing with the time post-destruction of the temple. Omar Raphrom Bar Popo, Omar of Chistim, Yom Shechorov Beis HaMikdash, Lo Hukshima Ruach Droimis. That from the time of destruction of temple, the southern wind did not produce rain. Shenemar Vayigzor Al Yamin V'ro'ev Vayochal Al Smol V'lo Soveu. Uksiv, in order to understand the first pasuk, we resort to a second pasuk, Tzafon V'yamin Ato Barosam. Can we learn from here what the meaning of Yamin is? Well, it stands opposite Tzafon. So if Tzafon, we know, is north, so Yamin is south. If that be the case, the pasuk just before that made reference to a gzeira, a ruling concerning the Yamin, the south, resulting in famine and not near lack of production. Hence, we see this idea that from the time of the Chumash Habayis, the Ruach Dromis did not produce rain. That from the time of destruction, rain doesn't come from the Otzer, the storehouse of good. Once the quality of production diminished since the time of the Churban. And by the way, there are other Gemaras that refer to the taste of fruits, the richness of produce decreased from what it once was. Maybe that's why many people have to buy junk food and candies and all kinds of sweets to satisfy their desires, when that same desire might have been fulfilled once upon a time by that which grows naturally. Continuing in the Gemara, we said that it doesn't come from the Otzer Tov. Shenemar Yiftach Hashem Lecho Es Oitzoro Hatoiv. The pasuk says, the Rashi across from here says Es Oitzoro Hatoiv V'Seifa. The continuation of that is Loseis Metar Artzicha. So that the Otzer Atov is associated with the rain. The Gemara continues, Bizman Shi Yisrael. We can read the section that we put in these parentheses, and we'll qualify our comments momentarily. It says, Bizman Shi Yisrael Oysen Ritzonu Shel Mokoim V'Yisrael Shruyin Al Admoson Gishomim Yordim Me Oitzer Toiv. There are those, the Bach here has a girsa, and that's why these parentheses were inserted in accordance with the Bach's reading. He takes this section out and reads that as follows. We'll read the line again. Bizman Shiyisrael Shruyin Al Admoson Gishomim Yordim Me Oitzer Toiv. Bizman she'ein Yisrael shruyin al admoson, ein gishomim yordin me'otzer tov. So if you read Lefi the Bach's girsa, there's balance in this comment. There's shruyin al admoson, then yordin me'otzer tov. Not shruyin al admoson, not in Eretz Yisrael, then ein yordin me'otzer tov. The Marsha, on the other hand, has a beautiful explanation to the Gemara, which we will not get into in the context of our Gemara. But as part of his explanation, he raises the phenomenon that this comment is imbalanced. Namely, it opens up with two factors, namely, Oysin Ritzonu Shel Mokom, the Yisrael Shruyin Al Admosam, and in the negation, it mentions only one point, namely, Ein Yisrael Shruyin Al Admosam. For further details and appreciation, one can learn the Marshal commentary. However, I found it noteworthy to glance back at the Gemara on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, which featured a Tanaic source, a confrontation between Turnus Rupus HaRosha and Rabbi Akiva. Turnus Rupus was dealing with the issue of giving tzedakah. And he said to Rabbi Akiva that we are like avodim, and he said that we're not oiser ritzonis shel mokoyim, and as such, when we're not oisin ritzonis shel mokoyim, so then we're classified as avodim. And then, following his analogy, that a king who imprisoned his slave and then was found, someone else was found providing the slave with funds that would irritate the king would be very much opposed to such a thing. On that sugya, on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, we also noted the Rabbeinu Gershom. And we can read it again. It's noted in the Shas Ozer edition. Those of you who are using a pre-marked bound Gemara will notice there, V'achshav iatem oisin ritzono shel mokom lefi sha'atem begolus v'atem yecholim lekayem kol ha'toyra. In other words, the concept of iatem oisin ritzono shel mokom is associated with golus, very similar to the sentiment expressed over here. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rebbe Yitzchok. This piece of Gemara, as our introductory note mentions on the side, Od Be'inyan Kivunei Tfila, more concerning the general topic of directions one faces during davening. Omar Rebbe Yitzchok, Horeitze Shiyachkim Yadrim. That one who wants to increase wisdom should face south during his davening. The Sheyashir Yatzfin. And one who wants to increase wealth, north, face northward. V'simonech, shulchan batzofoin u'menorah bedorom. In the Beis Hamikdash, the shulchan was positioned in the northern section of the Heichal, and the menorah, the southern section. Let us take a look at the Rabbeinu Gershom. He's found under the Gemara, the third wide line, Shulchan b'tzafon, haynu oysher. The shulchan is associated with wealth. Sheyarich shulchanoi machmaso, should be able to set up his table with all kinds of delicacies and wonderful things as a result of his wealth. Other meforshim mention that shulchan is associated with the concept of shulchan melochim, the tables of kings, wealth. The Rabbeinu Gershom continues, U'menorah bedorom, haynu chochma, kidechtiv, the menorah being a light producer. It says, ki ner mitzvah v'toyra or. So ner, an or, associated with chochma satorah. Hence the menorah bedorom. So if one wants to increase wisdom, should face dorom. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, li'oylom yadrin. His advice is to face south all the time. One should note that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi appeared on Omen Aleph also in the context of the discussion of where the Shechina is. And his opinion, though attacked, his opinion had been that it's in the west. Here, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying that in terms of recommended positioning for davening, face south. The Gemara will raise this question in another line. At this point, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, face south, shemitok shemishakim, through wisdom, misasher, he will gain wealth. Shenemar oirech yomim bimino b'smoyla oisher v'kovoid. This pasuk refers to the Torah. So that when one is engaged in Torah study, which we know increases wisdom, there contained therein is also wealth. This is a point the Rabbeinu Gershom brings out. Shenema urich yomim v'chulei hai kro lo osi lashminen elo de Torah shi chochma yesh bonami oishe v'chova. The Torah, which is considered chochma, has in it also oishe v'chova. I saw in Meforshim the following idea that one who studies Torah and appreciates true meaning and true value of life will also come to a state of being where physical acquisitions and wealth, money, etc., as everyone understands very well, who come to understand their true value, will come to be able to go through life b'muat, mistapik b'muat, won't be preoccupied with acquiring more and more and more. And as is well known, the saying, Ezu Oshir, Hasomeach Bechelkoi. If you have even whatever portion God has given you, you're happy with it. You're happy, you're mistapik, you're Sameach with Chelko, you are called an Oshir. Hence, one who is engaged with Torah will come to be an Oshir, the true wealthy man. He who is happy with whatever portion he's been given. Continuing in the Gemara, Gemara asks, V'omer Bishu ben Levi, V'omer Bishu ben Levi, Omar Shechina b'Marav. We have dashed underlined this phrase. Compare it with what he mentioned just a couple lines before, where he said Le'olam Yadrim, face south here. But we know before he said Shechina b'Marav, hence face west. Answer: Demitzadeid Atzdudi. Face west, but veer a bit south, southwest then. Amar Le Rabbi Chanina L'Rav Ashi. Kagonatun das diasvisu b'tzvoino d'Eretz Yisrael, you people who live north of Eretz Yisrael, namely in Bovel, which was a region which was approached when traveling from Eretz Yisrael toward Bovel, you would take a northerly route. Adrimu Adrumi. So you are considered north of Eretz Yisrael, face south. We noted Tosfos on Amud Aleph in the Dibur Maskul Kol that Rabbi Chanina was of the opinion of the Deos brought in Maseches Brochus that one is to face Eretz Yisrael. Uminolon de Bovel etzvoinu de Eretz Yisrael kaima. From where do we know that Bovel is to the north of Eretz Yisrael? Dichtiv mitzafon tipotach ra'o al kol yoshvei ha'oretz. And from the north, and the pasuk is a reference to Bovel, there will come forth the Ra on Yoshvei Ha'aretz, Eretz Yisrael. So Bovel, this pasuk being associated with Bovel, described as north of Eretz Yisrael. Marchikin es hamashre min hayerek v'chulei. Tana. Rabbi Yosi matir b'chardo. As opposed to the Tanakhama, and this discussion, by the way, we have seen before, and if one wants to appreciate this discussion at greater length, so one would, of course, make reference back to the sugya there. Rabbi Yosi Matir b'Chardol, as opposed to the Tanakhama who classified the Chardol as the Mazik against the Dvorim, he says that the Baal HaChardol doesn't have to distance himself. Sheyochol Loimar Lo, the owner of the Chardol, who's located next to the owner of the Dvorim, can say to the Dvorim man, Ad shato umer li harche chardolcha midvorai, until you tell me to remove my chardol, because you consider the chardol as a damager of your bees, harche dvorcha min chardolai. I want you to distance your dvorim, your bees, from my chardol. Shebols v'oichlois l'glugei chardolai. They come, your bees come and consume my chardol blossoms. Mishnah. The topic at hand will be distancing trees from boros. Marchikin esoilon min abor esrim v'chamesh amo. Ubechorov v'shikma, if those are the trees in question, chamishim amo. Bein milamala Bein min hatzad. Let us take a look at Rashi to appreciate these expressions. Bein milamalo she'echod mehen, whether it be the boar or the tree, milamalon begoiva shipua har, vasheni b'shipulo. You have described here a mountain slope, and we're instructed, we're being given the following instructions to keep, maintain a distance, whether the boar is on the upper level of the slope and the tree below, or the tree on the upper level, or the boar low. The Mishnah also says, Bein min hatzad, Rashi says, Bekarka shoveh. The 25 amma distancing must be maintained on flat land as well. Im habor kodma, the Mishnah says, Koitzeitz v'noisein domim. The boar was there first, the tree is to be cut down. But nevertheless, the tree owner is compensated. We had made reference to the Rashi that's found here earlier, and we explain that even though the tree was planted second, when it was planted, it wasn't damaging at all. The damage would come only much later, so it's only fair that though the tree is cut down, the tree owner does get compensation. V'im ilan kadam lo yokutz. Sofek zeh kadam lo yokutz. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afalpisha habor kodemes le'ilon. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tanakhama and says even though the boar came first, and then subsequently someone planted, the neighbor planted a tree, lo yokutz. No need to cut down the tree. Shezeh choyfer besor shelo, v'zeh noteh besor shelo. Each one does his things in his own area. Tana. We have a Tanaic source illustrated in 394. 2 points. Bein shehabor lamato ve'ilon lamalo. Bein shehabor lamalo ve'ilon lamato. The distancing must be maintained under both circumstances. This source, by the way, was referred to incognito by Rashi when he commented on the Mishnah Bein Milamalo, that the issue of above below applies equally to tree and to boar. That's what this source brings out explicitly. One could ask, what do I need this source for when the Mishnah itself said what was the lashon that we saw in the Mishnah? Bein milamalo, bein, and said also bein min hatzad. Does this source improve our understanding of things? So let's take a look at the Tosis, the third one on the Yomid. He says, Tana, bein shabor lamalo, vilon lamato, itzterich l'esuye hach. It's necessary to bring this brisa in. Afagavte b'masnisin namitnan, bein milamalon. The Mishnah also used the expression Bein Milamalon. The Tosfos has a girsa that doesn't appear to have been in the Mishnah that we have, because the Tosfos says Bein Milamaton. In our Mishnah, we have the expression Bein Milamalo Bein Minatzad. Nevertheless, even Lefi Tosfos, that the similar expression appeared Bein Milamalon Bein Milamaton, I still need to have this brisa. Mikomokom. The imi masnisin, if I had just the Mishnah, havi amino de achoro vishikmokoi, I would have thought that the expression bein milamalon, bein milamaton is referring to the choro vishikmo, because this expression appeared after the choro vishikmo were cited. The alokoi, on the choro vishikmo, that expression was found. Komashmalon braisa bechol ilon. That's what the value of this brisa is accomplishing, referring to all trees. So let's continue in the Gemara. Bishlamo bor lamato v'ilon lamalo. The scenario of the boar being lower on the slope and the tree being higher up on the slope, that I can understand, because if the tree, the basic tree trunk, is positioned higher up on the slope, What's going to happen with the tree roots? Tree roots will grow down and off to the side and eventually penetrate the wall of the bor. Ko'azlin sharoshin maski lo labor. The root system will go and wreak damage to the bor. Ela bor lemalo ve'ilon lemato. If the bor is located higher up on the slope and the tree lower down, amai, what problem could possibly result? So let's just imagine momentarily the bor is located a bit higher than the tree. The root system grows out to the side, but the bor is higher up than the root system. Nevertheless, there could be damage, as the Gemara will explain. Omar Rabbi Chago b'shem Rabbi Yossi, b'nei shemachlidin es hakarka. The roots cause a loosening of the ground that's under the bor, umalkin karkiisa shel bor, and as a result of there's chemical reactions that take place between the roots and the dirt, so the chemical reaction involves a softening of the ground at that point, and as such that can damage the foundation of the bor, even though the bor is higher up, but the bottom of the area immediately under the bor is of concern to us. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Yomer afal pi shabor kodemes lilon lo yokutz shezeh chofer besoch shelo vezeh notea besoch shelo. Amar Bihuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. What's Rabbi Yossi's opinion? That if someone is afraid of being damaged, let him distance himself. Let the nizik distance himself. Amar Rav Ashi, ki havon de Rav Kahana avi amrinon. When I was learning by Rav Kahana, we said, Moidi Rabbi Yossi begiri didei. To appreciate this comment, we will take a look at Rashi, who introduces to us another sugya altogether. Begiri delay, heicho demotile hazeko mitoch yodav shel mazik, where the damage comes from the hands of the mazik. It's not like the case of the tree and the bor. The tree and the bor, fellow had a bor, I had a tree. When I planted the tree, even if the bor was there first, I wasn't damaging the bor. I plant the tree. In the course of time, the tree roots will grow on their own and damage the bor. We cannot describe the tree roots as using, as Rashi says, mitoch yodov shalmazik. Therefore, in a case that there is mitoch yodov shalmazik, Rabbi Yossi agrees he's held accountable. And he cites an example from Bava Metzia. Damrina Ba'bayis Valia, it's the name of the parak in Bava Metzia. There's an illustration to accompany this Rashi 396. Hano Beitre, Chad Dayer Eloi, V'Chad Dayer Tatoi. Two people, one living in an upper level of a house and another in the lower level. Ifchis Maziva, the flooring material, which is the roof of the lower guy, the floor of the upper guy, developed a hole. V'chol Emas De Moshi Yodei, Nofli Olei De Tatoi. That when the upper fellow would wash his hands, the water would flow onto the head of the lower guy. The kishenoiflin miyodo mamish ala tachtoin. If you have a situation that as he was washing, was pouring the waters over his hands upstairs, falling directly onto the head of the lower guy, kori le giri delay. That's called giri delay. His arrows, as if he's shooting arrows. V'chi paski v'hodar nafli. In a situation that it wouldn't fall directly onto his head. Kagon, the Bach adds, Kagon de Megandri, that the water would fall on the floor of the upper guy and eventually roll over, flow over, and hit and reach the hole, and then drip onto the head of the lower guy. Lo kori le giri delay. That situation is not called giri delay. Continuing in the Gemara, Papi Yoino, Oni Ve'oshir Havei. This gentleman, Papi Yoino,
was a poor man who became wealthy. Bono apadno. He built himself a mansion. Also the kameder of Ashi. Omrale. Ki havon beirav kahana. Oh, let me read this line again. Papi Yuna was an onir v'oshir have. He built an apadna, a mansion. Havu hanoch atsuri b'shivavusi. Dechiavu daiki shumshimi. There were people who produced sesame oil. Those are the atsuri. They produce oil from the sesame plant. When they were daiki shumshami, when they would crush their sesame plant, havunaidi apadne, the crushing action would vibrate his house, his mansion. So Papi Yuno came with a complaint that these sesame oil producers are upsetting the comfort of my daily living. Also the kamei de Rav Ashi, amale. Ki havon be Rav Kana hava amrinon, moidi Rav Yosi begiri delay. That where damage results from direct force, the damager is held responsible. Rashi at the bottom says begiri delay. The hochanami. This case is like that. Hochinami miyadeim hu ba'lo, shemikoach makoseim hu married. That by the strength, by the koyach, by the force of their banging on the sesames, as soon as they bang, that causes the vibration. It's a immediate reaction, as opposed to something with delay, which Rabbi Yossi was not mechayev. The Gemara asks, "Vekamo, how much of a vibration would be considered a matter of concern?" Gemara answers, "Kedenayid naximo apume dechatzva." Rashi at the top says, "Kedenayid naximo apume dechatzva shim yanichu kad al choima vekisuya olea." If he would take a flask with a cover to it, a pitcher, some type of flask that has a cover, and put it on the top of his house, at the top of the wall of his house. Yonua hakisui machmas har oda. The lid would vibrate because of the vibrations they are causing. That's considered a problem. And that type of vibration would warrant the sesame fellows to distance themselves from the house. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.